have in the studio today, Julie Musselman and Mary Beth Finster, as we continue reading the book, Consoling the Heart of Jesus. This is a do-it-yourself retreat that's been inspired by the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, and it's written by Father Michael Gately. You can get your copy of the books at 33daystomorningglory.com. That's 33daystomorningglory.com.
Today we'll begin on page 63 at the top. So living our principle and foundation begins when we focus on the heart of Jesus and hear him say to us, "Behold, this heart which loves so much, yet is so little loved. Is there anyone who will console me?" Our automatic response is, "I will console you, Jesus." That's our response, right? Right. Okay, so we tell Jesus we want to console him, and then he says to us, "Oh, thank you." Then that means you will perform acts of reparation. Right. There is usually where the brakes go on. For many of us, the word reparation is like a big red stop sign that puts an end to all our drawing close to the Lord's heart. In fact, Father Gately says he wouldn't be surprised if some of us, on hearing this word, might respond to the Lord by saying, "Well, Lord, I do want to help you and be your friend and all, but I don't know about this reparation stuff. It sounds like there's a lot of suffering and sacrifices involved, and, well, as you remember from the beginning of the retreat, I'm one of the little ones. Perhaps this is what part of us is saying. Thus, we come to the first obstacle to living our principle and foundation, fear of suffering. But don't worry, for the Lord says to us, 'Be not afraid. Listen, I am meek and gentle of heart.'" To get past this first obstacle, we need to become convinced of the Lord's gentleness. He knows we're little. He knows we easily get scared and put on the brakes. He knows we need to be led by a gentle hand. Yet it often takes time for us to realize he knows. He knows that too, and he's very patient. Now, if we're willing, he'd like to begin teaching us to trust him. Shall we begin? Good. Then let's start the first lesson in the Lord's School of Trust. Let's begin to deal with our fear of suffering by coming to realize the Lord's great gentleness.
The first obstacle, fear of suffering. Joe's story. To help us understand better the Lord's gentleness, I'd like to recount a young man's experience during his 30-day retreat. I'll call him Joe. Yes, Joe is a real person, and what Father Gately's about to describe really happened. Joe started his 30 days of prayer with a great desire to become a saint, which, as we've seen earlier, is an important disposition for beginning an Ignatian retreat. Yet Joe lacked another important disposition for making such a retreat well: trust. Joe was like those people who, as we heard about earlier, read the first principle and foundation and focused entirely on gaining an attitude of indifference. He put his eyes not on the goal, the first thing, but on the means, the second thing. And then he tried to attain the means, indifference before all created things, by his own willpower. Now remember what I said before, striving to become indifferent by simply making sheer acts of the will won't work, at least not for long. Joe had to learn this lesson the hard way. Before the retreat, Joe had read stories of ordinary people who had made the 30-day retreat, experienced deep conversion, and then gone on to become great saints. He was particularly moved by the stories of certain Jesuit saints who had begun their retreats by doing severe penances. Joe said to himself, "I want to become a saint, and this retreat is my opportunity. But to do it, I've got to imitate those Jesuits who were so generous with God by giving him great penances." So Joe began his retreat by doing a lot of penance. He hardly ate any food. He didn't turn on the heat in his room during a bitterly cold November. He took only cold showers, and so on. After about 2 weeks of that, he hit the wall. It happened as he was about to step under the steam of the ice-cold shower spray. His body cried out, "No more!" He couldn't do it. He couldn't take another cold shower. So feeling discouraged, Joe took a nice warm shower, got dressed, and then went straight to the chapel.
Once in the chapel, Joe slumped him to a big chair for his morning meditation. It wasn't the first meditation of the retreat he'd made while sitting rather than kneeling. As he sat there in the big comfy chair, he felt like a big comfy failure. He didn't even raise his eyes to the tabernacle. In fact, he did not even make an effort to meditate. He just sat there, stewing in his discouragement. After a few minutes of that, Joe suddenly heard a soft, gentle voice speaking to his heart. Little lamb, don't run ahead of me, and don't lag behind. Just walk with me. A deep peace came with those words, and Joe kept them in his heart. He eased up on his penances and began to focus trustingly on the Lord. That's when the retreat began to work its wonders. For then Joe began to taste the sweetness of the Lord Jesus, and his goal became vivid and clear. Unfortunately, the sweetness didn't last. On the final day of the retreat, and one time earlier, Joe began to slip back into the same fears he had that had tortured him during the difficult first few weeks. Imagine the scene. Joe had just spent 29 days in silence and prayer. It had been such a beautiful time with the Lord when he trusted, yet so difficult when he didn't. As he came to what was supposed to be the culminating climactic moment of the retreat, the contemplation to attain divine love, he began to pull away from the Lord. The last meditation of the spiritual exercises, the contemplation to attain divine love, begins with two considerations. St. Ignatius describes them as follows.
The first consideration is that love ought to manifest itself in deeds rather than in words. The second is that love consists in a mutual sharing of goods, for example. The lover gives and shares with the beloved what he possesses. Thus, one always gives to the other.
After reflecting on these considerations, Joe began to feel a little uneasy. Nonetheless, he continued on the first two few points of contemplation. One of these points gives the following instructions.
This is to ask for what I desire. Here it will be to ask for an intimate knowledge of the many blessings received, that filled with gratitude for all, I may in all things love and serve the Divine Majesty.
After reading this instruction, Joe put on the brakes. What do you think might have caused his hesitation?
As Joe read the preliminary point, ask for an intimate knowledge of the many blessings received, the many and tremendous blessings God had given him throughout his life flooded his mind. Normally, such knowledge would have filled Joe with peace and joy. This time, however, the thought of so many blessings began to terrify him as he asked himself, "What will God want in return for all that he's given to me?" He reflected again on the two considerations that began the meditation. Love is through deeds, and the lover gives. Suddenly, those frightful words from sacred scripture came to his mind. Everyone to whom much is given, much will be required. Luke 12:48. It seemed to Joe that the rest of his life would have to be one big crucifixion in order to make a return to God for all the good God had done for him. So Joe stopped. Paralyzed by the fear of what God might ask of him, he couldn't continue. Precisely at that point, the Lord directly intervened. As you read what Father Gately's about to recount from Joe's experience, understand this. If anyone gives God 30 days of intense prayer and spiritual exercise, God will speak. Surely, he had already spoken to Joe earlier in the retreat, but it was during this last contemplation that the Lord Jesus spoke to Joe more clearly than ever before.
Jesus had patiently suffered through Joe's hesitation and lack of trust, but now it seemed he could take it no longer. So just as in the case of the Jansenism in the 17th century France, Jesus snapped. He spoke to Joe, who was still stuck and full of distress. In sad but gentle and loving words, he spoke to Joe's heart. "Joseph, Joseph, why are you hesitating? Why do you fear?" Joe responded, "Lord, if I look at all you've given me, I'm terrified of what you might want in return." The Lord continued, "Joseph, haven't I shown you how gentle I am with you? Haven't I shown you only kindness? Why do you fear? Look at your life. Have I ever allowed anything you couldn't bear?" Joe had to admit, "No, Lord, all you've shown me is mercy and love, and the tough times came when I went off on my own." Then the Lord began, "Joseph, all I want is for you to be my friend. All I want is for you to not be afraid of me and to come to me." "That's all, Lord?" "That's all."
After this conversation, Joe's heart overflowed with peace. Perhaps peace is beginning to fill our hearts as well, for the Lord's words to Joe are addressed to all little souls. "All I want is for you to be my friend. All I want is for you not to be afraid of me and to come to me. That's all." Can you hear the Lord speaking these words to you? He does. Listen with your heart. You don't have to make a 30-day retreat to hear them. here they are right now for you. Take them to heart and realize how simple it is to please the Lord. With the Lord's words to us in mind, let's renew our decision to be his friends. There's no reason to be afraid. Reflect on his question to Joe and to us. Haven't I shown you how gentle I am with you? Have I ever allowed anything you couldn't bear? When we haven't fled from the Lord's love, when we've given him a chance to show it, haven't we always found his embrace to be gentle? Maybe we've never given him the chance to show us. Let's give him that chance now by taking to heart his words to Joe and to us. And in the warmth of that embrace, let's get to know the Lord as he truly is. Furthermore, let's listen to his loving invitation from the gospel. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's from Matthew's gospel, chapter 11, verse 29. Truly, it's so simple and relatively easy to follow the Lord and to be his true friends. There's nothing to fear, and yet we still fear.
Before we take on the second obstacle that prevents us from going to the Lord, namely our weaknesses, sinfulnesses, and attachments, it might be helpful to look more closely at this first one. Specifically, let's dedicate a fair share of our time to reflecting on what we're often so afraid of, suffering. Mary, I really want to recommend the workbook to everyone who might be doing it at home with the podcast or even in groups, small groups. A lot of these small groups are popping up all over the country. And to have these discussion questions is really important, I think. Not so much these exact questions, but the fact that using a workbook in a group setting really just lights the discussion up and allows people to interact and get to know each other better, and to really just share their ideas and what God's done in their life. And so if anyone's kind of on the fence about, oh, I don't need a workbook, I'd say, really, you know, it's just a great benefit, and so many of the groups that have used it, you know, just can't say enough about it.
And it's nice to remind people, too, that if you do get your workbook and you have questions that are outside of the workbook, that's okay, too. Any questions at all that come up are certainly worth discussion. And if within your group you're not sure of the answers and you need help discerning how to answer some of the questions you may be raising, feel free to send Julie a message at her website, 33daystomorningglory.com. That's the numbers 33daystomorningglory.com. Moving on to the workbook now, question number one, and this is on page 39, session 4 in the workbook reads.
Question number one, when in your life have you experienced suffering? Because of sin, suffering is a part of life. Everyone suffers. Suffering takes on all kinds of shapes and sizes. For instance, there's physical suffering, like a toothache, mental suffering, like stress and worry, and even spiritual suffering, dryness in prayer or lack of meaning. Sometimes suffering ebbs and flows according to different periods of our lives. What was the worst time of suffering in your life? What kind of suffering was it? What kind of suffering do you bear now? Even if you've thought about this before, you may be at a different crossroads now. Or perhaps the Lord may have revealed something new about your experience of suffering. Answer these questions as if you were speaking to the Lord about them, telling him what they mean to you.
Well, this is a great opening question. And I think, as we've told everyone in the past, we're lay people who are just getting together to do this retreat on our own. And so these answers are all going to be very personal answers, as they would be in any group. But we share with everyone just because I think it gives you a sense of, you know, how God is working in someone's life. And I'll just kind of jump in on this first one. I think as a mother, we experience suffering all the time in different mm-hmm. ways. And there is physical suffering with ourselves, our husbands, our kids, in terms of sicknesses and that kind of thing. The mental suffering with children can be tremendous sometimes. We recently had prom time came around, and, you know, would our son be out too late, and where was he, and was he okay, and some of those things. And then the spiritual suffering, as we try to go forward in our prayer life and develop our prayer life, there's a lot of times that we have those great days where we're excited and we can't wait to see what God's going to say to us. And then there are those days where we just don't hear anything at all.
And instead of specifically talking about a personal suffering, I just kind of reach out to those that are listening that, you know, if, whether it's a loss of a loved one, maybe a health of a parent that's older, divorce, loss of a job, painful things that people suffer. To me, I see a door always opening. When I've suffered the most, it's been a doorway that opens that I finally completely abandoned myself and say, I can't do this. And I think Jesus uses that opportunity. He's been so patient with me personally, but I think he's patient with all of us out there that are listening that may be going through something difficult right now. And this is a training time, because this is when we are vulnerable and Jesus is the only one that can get us through it.
I'd like to speak briefly to physical suffering, whether it be pain in the hips, the knees, the back, the joints that oftentimes plague so many people in our society. And I know when I've had those moments where I've had an extremely sore joint, I often ponder, am I supposed to just embrace the suffering and love the suffering? Or is it okay maybe to go to the chiropractor and get an adjustment?
Well, I think we have to do what's prudent, right? You know, I mean, there are, you know, if it hurts you for an hour, that's one thing. If it hurts you every single day for a week or a month, then certainly getting some help from a healthcare professional would be prudent, I would say.
Well, and I have discovered that oftentimes when I embrace the suffering, when I unite it to the cross, oftentimes it will go away on its own. And it's those times when it doesn't go away on its own that I go, okay, it's okay to go to the health professional now, but only after first embracing it and loving it.
Yeah, and I liked what Mary Beth said about suffering opens the door, because we really do, when we suffer, we come face to face with how empty we are and how little we have in our own strength to deal with the crosses that God sends our way. And I would encourage anyone, this retreat we're doing right now, Consoling the Heart of Jesus, if you're in a time of suffering in your life, this is like a how-to manual, in my opinion, to work through the sufferings that come up in life and deal with them in a very, very positive and beautiful and Catholic way and move through them. So I myself have just been really going through this retreat and just finding so many benefits. Tom's going to jump in with us. We have Tom Eldred on the phone with us.
Hi. I've got an example of the suffering that in my life that really had kind of a neat conclusion, if you will. When we had first gotten married and started, we were transferred to California and started having children. And you know, my mom, you know, we'd call her every week or so. They were living in Louisiana. We were out in California, and one time I was talking to her on the phone, and she says, you know, if I had it to do all over again, all the suffering, all the ways that we sacrificed, send you to school, get you a college education, if I'd have known that you would have moved to California and taken those kids with you or have them out there, she said, I would have never done it. And I was crushed. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, really suffered through this thing, and I just... The suffering caused me to cry out to the Lord, you know, my spirit, which is crying out to him, Lord, you got to do something, because it was totally out of my hands. What can I do? I even started interviewing for positions and stuff closer to Louisiana and things like that. But anyway, make a long story short, this went on for several months. And then I was talking to her on the phone again, and she goes, you know, I've been dreaming about you guys lately, and... The dream is really kind of sweet. I'm holding the kids. I'm loving them. I'm caressing them. And, you know, I don't miss you as much anymore. You know?
Wow.
And so, the you know, this was God's way of telling me that, mm-hmm. you know, he can fix all the sufferings better than we could ever fix them. You know, what could I do? There was nothing I could do. And so, you know, God was just so good about that. So, you know, that was just an example I had.
Tom, I love what you're saying about how your mom said, if I would have known all the suffering that I would have had, I wouldn't have done it, because I recently had an experience that was the opposite. We were together with all six of our children at Mass, and usually the older ones are out of the home and we're not with them all the time. And I glanced down the whole pew, you know, all eight of us took up a whole pew, and I looked at those kids, and I said to the Lord, all the difficulties, all the suffering, all the tremendous work, you know, that we've done so far, I said, Lord, I'd do it all and more if I could, because the glory was so great to see the, you know, to see what suffering produces. And suffering at the time feels just rotten, but the fruit that comes from suffering is truly tremendous. And I think a lot of us who can look back in our lives on certain things we've gone through can attest to that. So question number two is, will you give Jesus permission to take control of the suffering in your life? How might your life change if you did so? Does it frighten you? What will you say to the Lord about your fears? In Consoling the Heart of Jesus, Father Gately says that there seems to be at least two different Christian approaches to suffering. The first approach is to be very active, and the second approach is more passive. Living a complete Christian life should include both approaches. For instance, regarding the active approach, we should mortify ourselves in those areas of our lives where we have disordered attachment. So if we waste too much time surfing the web, we should choose the suffering of spending less time on the computer. In the text, he emphasizes making the passive approach intentional. In other words, Father Gately recommends that we ask Jesus to allow us to bear the crosses that will really help us grow in holiness. Does this seem frightening? Don't worry. The Lord knows what we can take. He always gives us the grace we need to bear our crosses. And we can even ask him to be gentle. Important point. Jesus himself doesn't cause the suffering. In other words, by sending us crosses, he allows us to suffer, but he himself doesn't cause it. Speak to the Lord about suffering, and if you feel so moved, ask him to pick just the right crosses, not too heavy and not too light, that will help you grow in holiness.
Yes. You know what I right away think of? It's just Mary and Martha. I just think of, and one of the funniest quotes I've ever heard is that you knew we were in trouble when Martha tried to tell God what to do. And I like to look at this balance of this question as what a perfect way to suggest that balance of being able to receive from the Lord, but you just can't sit on your couch and eat bonbons while you're going through this. Those of those that are listening out there that may be in the thick of it right now knows it's a very active part of your life, and it can be completely physically exhausting, emotionally draining. And if you don't seek the Lord, it may not be a lot of time. You may say, oh, I don't have a lot of time, but just keep your eye focused on Jesus right there, and that will be the thing that will help you get through it.
It's funny, too, when you're in the midst of that suffering, in the midst of that pain, the last thing you really want to do is embrace it and take it on. I know I've experienced that many times myself where I don't even think about that so often. And then all of a sudden it hits me. Oh, embrace this one. Love this one. And it's amazing the transformation that occurs when you do. We are going to finish out today's program listening to a song by Danielle Rose. It's called I Thirst.
Thank you. blood.